Well, today we are concluding our three-week message series on the Bible. At Abundant Life, we believe that all scripture found within the pages of the Bible are the one true word of God. And that though men wrote it, we believe that God directed each one of those authors to write in it. We believe the Bible to be the infallible word of God and absolutely supreme and sufficient in authority in all matters of faith and practice. The Bible is an amazing book with a fascinating history. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? And if you have your Bible, I know you just sat down. If you'd stand up with me, if you have your Bible, whether it's in book form or phone form, if you don't have it here, just pretend you got it. But we're going to say this decree together that will be up on the screen. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do whatever it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living Word of God. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, stay standing for the reading of God's Word this morning. And it says here in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll skip down to verse 14. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen? You may be seated. Thank you, everyone. I am. There will be more aerobics later. And up and up and sit and up and raise hands. Sit down and put down your Bible and open it up. Okay, all the aerobics. And one and two and three and four and one and two. Okay, back to the message, Pastor. You had a little much too much coffee this morning. Anyways, the title of this final segment of this Bible series is called Study the Word. But before I dive into it, here are some facts that maybe you didn't know about the Bible. Psalm 118 is the center chapter of the Bible. 594 chapters before it and 594 chapters after it. The center verse of the Bible is found in Psalm 118:8, and which says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." And how many know what is the longest chapter in the Bible? Well, that would be Psalm 119. But did you know that the shortest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 117? And the shortest, but how about the shortest verse? Anybody know where the shortest verse? Trick question, because it's not in the Psalms. Where is it, Henry? It's in John. John 11:35, and I bet you Henry can recite it. Jesus wept. It was my favorite verse to recite in Sunday school. Now, my most unfavorite verse to memorize in Sunday school was the longest verse of the Bible, which is found in Esther chapter 8, verse 9. I won't read it for you, but you can look it up later. The longest word in the Bible is actually someone's name found in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 3. Me'er Shalal Hashbaz. Me'er Shalal Hashbaz. Say that a lot of times. Like, I think there's almost every word in the alphabet in that thing. Anyways, I'd like to pick an A, Pat, for the Wheel of Fortune. I'd like to pick an A. There's a lot of A's up there. Anyways, in 1631, publishing company published a Bible with the typo, get this, "Thou shalt commit adultery." Only 9 of these Bibles exist today and are known as the Sinner's Bible. And guess who is the largest producers of the Bibles. This one's going to throw you a little bit because their government right now is persecuting churches. And they're not only persecuting churches, they're closing them down and jailing the pastors. The answer is China. And did you know that Jesus was not the only child, was not an only child? He had at least four brothers who are mentioned by name in the New Testament, and at least two sisters that remain unnamed in the New Testament. And now you have it, the rest of the story for all you Paul Harvey fans. So far in this series, we've discussed the Bible's history and its reliability. We've learned that 40 different authors wrote the Old Testament, Old and New Testament of the Bible, approximately over the span of 1,600 years. And if you were to study all 66 books that make up the Bible and study them carefully and cross-reference them carefully, you would find that they are congruent with one another, which is really interesting when you think about it. The fact that they all came from different backgrounds, different walks of life, had written during different time periods and in different seasons and to different audiences. We also learned that there are multiple prophecies or predictions in the Old Testament that came to pass in the New Testament. And some of those prophecies were written 700 years before they actually happened. And the details given within these prophecies or predictions were absolutely astounding, and because they were so clear, vivid, and accurate, which leaves little to no room for these being a coincidence. And after all, what is a coincidence? A coincidence is when God remains anonymous. It's all of these things, it's as if all of these authors, right, we're following one master script, and we believe that it is God who directed each of these authors to write what they did. In this series, we also learned of the great lengths it took to produce accurate copies of the Bible, and how people took incredible risks and made many sacrifices to translate the Bible into many different languages so that we could all read and understand the Bible in our own language. May we never take for granted the privilege it is to have one of these, have the Bible in our possession. It is truly a gift. And so my question this morning is, what are you going to do with this gift? Well, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Sometimes we spend too much time on the things that will pass away. And it can be easily done. Like focusing on what Don Cherry said at Hockey Night in Canada last weekend during an episode of Coach's Corner. Some might be focusing their attention on a particular sporting event that's happening this afternoon. Some put a lot of attention into their appearance. Others put much of their focus on stuff that they don't have and wish they did. Like, oh, if I could only have this, or if I could only have that, I would be complete. You complete me. And then, you know, we think about this and all these things that we wish we had, or we put our focuses on these things. And truth of the matter is, what's new today is old tomorrow. It's old tomorrow, right? And heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Yes, Disney Plus will one day pass away, but God's word will never pass away. It is a timeless treasure that will pass the test of time. The question for all of us is this, is what will we do with this gift that God has given us? The psalmist King David wrote in Psalm 119:11, said this, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." It means to literally download it, hide it, and conceal it deep down within the core of our being. And when we make a commitment like this, transformation in our lives is inevitable. My prayer is that for everyone who listens to the sermon series, whether you're in this room this morning, or whether those that are listening online, my prayer is that this message series will inspire you to do more than just read the Bible to get through it, but rather study it so that the Bible, God's Word, can get through to you. God's Word is living and alive. It has the power to change us for the better. For those of you that grew up going to church as a child, maybe you recognize this little tune, the B-I-B-L-E. Now that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Come on, everybody. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Yeah, you guys are awesome. We should take this on the road. Back in 2010, there was a movie that came out that was called The Book of Eli. I don't know if you've watched it or whatever, but the premise of this movie was a post-apocalyptic tale in which a lone man, Eli, fights his way across America in order to protect a sacred book that holds secrets to saving mankind. Now, I'm going to give some spoilers here to this movie. I pray that it doesn't wreck your viewing experience. You can plug your ears if you want. But the book that Eli is protecting is nothing more than the Bible. It's the Bible that he's protecting. And the antagonist in the story wants to get this book, and he's doing whatever he can to get his hands on this book because he recognizes and understands the power that it possesses. And so he will do anything. Now, here's the spoiler. Now, plug your ears if you don't want to hear it. Eli's copy of the Bible is actually written in Braille because Eli is blind. The Bible or the book gets taken away from him, but Eli still continues his quest. And when he gets to his destination, it is revealed that he has hidden the entire word in his heart. And so he recites the book so that somebody can put it back into print. And an amazing, amazing story. Quite a graphic movie, but I'm intrigued with it. How's that for hiding God's word in your heart? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for all of us. And we should stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. See, the Bible is alive. It's not just words on a page, but it's living. It's life transforming. It's powerful and active in every single way. But it's up to us to unpack it by reading it and then bringing our lives into alignment with it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." God's word is alive and powerful. Many things in life can come in and wear us down and tire us out by causing our mind and body and spirit to be weary and heavy burdened. This happens when we focus on all of our problems around us instead of the solution that God has provided us in His Word. God is able to connect with us spirit to spirit when we read His Word because His Word is truth. And it is His truth alone that will set us free, because when we read the word of His word in this book, we find that there is power in this name of Jesus. And because His name is above every name, there is power in the name of Jesus. So if you've ever wondered why I always pray in Jesus' name, it's because we are too. It says, whatever you ask, ask it in my name. Pray in my name. There is no other name greater than the name of Jesus. It's alive and powerful. God's word brings healing. God's word brings healing. Psalm 107:20 says this, "He sent out His word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death." Throughout the Bible, God is referred to as Jehovah Rapha, and which means the God who heals. He's the God who heals. He heals us from our sicknesses. He heals us from diseases, illnesses, and other physical wounds. He can heal us of wounds we've suffered emotionally, psychologically, mentally. He can bring healing to our relationships that have been fragmented or splintered or broken. God can bring healing to a hurtful or abusive past. He specializes in taking what is broken and making it new again. Healing is found in God's word. God's word brings direction. Proverbs 16:9 says, "We make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." In Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." God's word gives us direction on how to live our lives. The Bible is a wealth of wisdom within its pages. So when we have questions on what God's view is on a particular subject, we can go to God's word and see what he says, and he can direct us. He can direct us. You see, God has spoken, and he's written these things, and in the Old Testament, we hear story after story of how he directed his people. And I my mind immediately races to God directing his children, the children of Israel, through the wilderness and into the promised land, right? He delivers them and directs them out of captivity from Egypt. See, God's word will give us direction. I think of the scripture in James, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God, are ordered by God. Let's just make that politically correct in this society, the steps of a righteous person, anybody who's righteous, the steps of a righteous person are ordered by God. They're ordered by God. God's word brings freedom. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free." What we see here in these verses is the exact reason why Jesus came to earth. He came to set humanity free, free from sin, free from addiction, free from painful pasts, free from condemnation, free from guilt and shame, free from worry, depression, anxiety, mental illness, or even past traumatic events. Free from fear, he has given us freedom from whatever hold the devil has got on us. God's word sets us free. God's word is alive and powerful. It makes healing, or it brings healing, direction, freedom, and so much more. And God calls us not to just read the word, but to study the word, to hide it in the very core of our being. In Proverbs 7, chapter 7, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart." Jewish people take tremendous effort keeping God's words close. Boys as young as 5 years of age would attend special schools and begin learning of the Torah. And by the age of 10, they would have it memorized. Now, maybe you don't know what the Torah is. Let me explain. It's called, another name is the Pentateuch, which is, if you think of penti, it means five, which is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They'd have them memorized. How many of you guys at 10 years age, how many of you guys have been a Christian all your life have got it memorized? I don't. I could list for you the first five books of the Bible, but I can't recite everything that was in it. And think of this. By the age of 13, Jewish children would have the entire Hebrew scriptures memorized. Wow. And so the book of Proverbs is telling us to take God's word and guard it as we would our own eyes. Just as we would take every precaution to protect our eyes, you know, whether it be when we're using power tools or wearing sunglasses to protect our eyes from the harmful sun rays, or wearing goggles in the water or while riding a motorcycle, a quad, or a skidoo. We're also to guard the instructions found in God's word. Then the writer of Proverbs talks about tying these instructions around our finger and writing them deep within our heart. And if you look back into Jewish history, you'd find that they took this very seriously and very literally. They would write God's word and they would put it on their walls. You'll see we in this church building have God's word written on the walls. And then they would also take some little parchment paper and they would write God's law and they would tie them to their wrists. Why? So that everywhere they went, they took the word of God with them. And then some of them, they also had phylacteries. And these are little leather boxes that they would strap to their head. And they would put God's word inside of those boxes so that it would protect their minds and their thoughts. Everywhere they went, God's word was with them. Isn't it nice to know that with the wonderful world of technology, we've got the word of God that travels with us on our phones everywhere? I would say that that's our modern-day phylactery. But there's also another lot of other garbage that can go on our phones too. So anyways, with our time remaining, I want to give you a couple of practical tips when it comes to studying the Bible, studying God's word. First thing, it's important to find a good Bible. Find a good Bible. There are so many different translations out there, and they come in a variety of shapes and sizes. So you may prefer maybe an older translation that's been around for a long time, such as the King James Version. It was one of the very first versions that was translated into the English language back in 1611 AD. If that's your translation you prefer, may I suggest you take it one step further and invest in the King James Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It's a unique chain reference system that allows you to follow any subject, person, place, or idea from the front of your Bible to the end of your Bible. And there are 100,000 links with over 7,000 topics. A great Bible for anyone who wants kind of the meat and potatoes kind of meal, if you want, of Scripture. And maybe for some of those, you find the King James very difficult to read. And might I suggest maybe a new international version, the NIV, or the New Living Translation, the NLT. I personally like the New Living Translation, but the Life Application Study Bible. You can tell that I love it quite a bit because the cover doesn't even stay on. But there's so many wonderful things in here. There's little commentaries in here. And then there's an introduction to every, an introduction with some vital statistics that about each book. And then you can see little character sketches of each person, significant people in the Bible. So it's really kind of a walking commentary all in one. And it gives you practical lessons in life. It gives you timelines and all of the sorts, right? For some of those that would like to read the Bible in more of a chronological order, well, here we've got one. News is this. The news is this, is that the Bible is not written in chronological order. And you'll find that when you read the Bible, sometimes it repeats itself a lot. All right? But that's okay. There's a reason why it does so. But you can get the chronological, and don't just get the chronological Bible, get the chronological study Bible. Because within its pages, you will find historical tidbits of what was happening during that era that the Bible was written. And you can find certain little timelines and little interesting tidbits and archaeological finds that actually are from this era of the Bible. Maybe you struggle with addiction in your life, and you would like a Bible that really speaks to that. Well, may I suggest the Life Recovery Bible. Inside is the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. This Bible is fantastic. We had in our church years ago a wonderful life group called Celebrate Recovery, and this was the Bible that went through it. And it just wonderful tidbits to help you with that in your life. So if that's you, I encourage you to get a Bible that is like that. You know, for children, I recommend the Hands-On Bible. The Hands-On Bible, we've given this Bible out to a lot of our kids at Kingdom Kids, and it's a wonderful Bible for parents to walk your kids through. There's wonderful activities found within the pages to make the Bible come alive. It's wonderful. And let's say you're kind of new to the faith and you're wondering, is there a Bible for dummies? Yes, there is. It's called the New Believer's Bible. We don't like to call you a dummy. We like to call you a new believer, right? Because nobody wants to be called a dummy, right? So actually, I remember we led a woman to Christ, and she says, do you got a Bible for dummies? You know how there's always these books for dummies you can find, right? And I said, well, I don't have one that has that on the title. I could write it on there if you'd like me to. But no, we have a New Believer's Bible. That would be wonderful. And what it does is it just walks you through, beginning right off the hop, walks you through how you can know God and how you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then it gives you a description of and gives you a talk on who's God and who's Jesus, who's the devil, what are angels, what are demons. And then it goes into some of the cornerstones of the faith and walks you through that. So there's wonderful tidbits found within this Bible. Maybe you like to read the Bible and studying it is good, but maybe for you, you'd like to read through the Bible and you get distracted by those verses and chapters and all that breakdown. You'd like to read it in kind of a storybook form. There's a Bible that's called The Story, and it's taken from the New International Version, the NIV, and it walks you through and it puts it in sections. Certain sections, so you don't have the whole chapters and verses and all those long genealogies that really kind of, you're kind of like, what? But that's good studying too, but you can get one of those. But I also encourage you to take a step further. Get a commentary. Now, this one is just from, this is just of 1st and 2nd Timothy, but you can buy one that's got a generic for the whole Bible. And this one, I love it because it's the NIV application commentary and that. But the commentary gives you an explanation of why the author wrote what they did. Gives you some context of what was happening at the time. Why did they say what they did? And then gives you some cultural context as well. And sometimes because sometimes we need to understand that some of the things that were written in the Bible were directed to a certain group of people, right? And doesn't quite fit into other cultural contexts, like ours, for instance. Like women, right, should all wear head coverings and remain silent in church. Well, if that were the case, it'd be pretty silent downstairs at our Kingdom Kids, right? We believe that God has called us, all of us, right, to be teachers and carriers of the gospel. So, but you would read in Scripture of why that author made such a claim and why he talked about that. You'd think that even the Apostle Paul, you read another part where he says, hey, you know what? If you can remain single, that's the best. But if you have to marry because you're going to burn with passion, better to do that. You would think that Paul is like encouraging everybody to be celibate. But if you would read what he was saying and understanding where his minds were, that's what the commentaries can give you, valuable insight into why he said what he did and others as well. The other thing is, too, is that sometimes we just need to start off our day right. Start off our day right. And that's where devotional books come in. I love this one particularly because it takes me a few minutes just to get through. I've got another one that's my new favorite called Jesus Calling, and it's awesome. I love it. But this one is called Daily Power by Craig Rochelle. I love listening to Craig online, and this one's so good. It gives you a brief scripture and then gives you some of his thoughts on scripture. And it just empowers you and injects kind of like it's like that shot of steroid in you or that shot of caffeine first thing in the morning, you know. It just gets there and it just marinates. And it could be even that you take that verse and you memorize it. You memorize that verse, that because it was your verse, you claim that verse for the day. And then the last thing I would share with you is journal. Get a nice journal. Get a journal together and start journaling your spiritual journey. Record it. Start writing it down. I find that when I learn things, I learn better by writing. And it sticks with me longer. But not only that, I can track my spiritual history. It's good to journal. It's good to journal. It's not just a diary. It's your spiritual journey. And what amazing would it be? Wouldn't it be amazing if all of a sudden Years pass. You've gone on to glory to be with your heavenly Father, and your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren flip through the pages of your spiritual journey. You can still impact their lives and leave a legacy for them. What a beautiful thing to leave is a journal. So I encourage you to journal what God is teaching you, what God is walking you through in that. So those are some practical study suggestions that I hope that will help you dive even deeper into your relationship with God. Tools that will help you understand God's word and apply it into your life. The reality is God is calling us to take his word with us literally wherever we go, that we would write it deep within our hearts, and we would allow it to saturate our lives, to let it literally consume everything we do. In Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, it says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" My prayer is that as we become just as passionate as the psalmist is in this passage, that we would long for God so much that we could hardly wait to be in his presence. That after we said our amen, we could hardly get back into his presence again. And if we're only getting a God experience every time we come to church, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but you're not getting enough nourishment. It's kind of like eating once a week. Would you just have one meal a week? I mean, I would if I did that, I would eat till I was like ready to throw up. But I mean, if you're only getting this, what you're getting from me on a Sunday morning, you really need a daily dose of God. And that's where those devotional books are really helpful to help you start off. Don't feel like you got to take everything that I've just told you and you got to go break the bank and get all these things and become a student right away. Listen, gradually work yourself into it. Baby steps. And then you'll find that you'll actually crave wanting to know more because there are such hidden treasures. One of the areas I never even talked about was word studies. You start doing a word study in the Bible, like you know how when the pastor tries to get you to teach you a new Hebrew word or a Greek word, and you're like, wow, that was kind of funny because the pastor doesn't even know how to say it. But when you start unpacking those words, the Bible just comes alive. It's alive and powerful. But I want to encourage you every day, get into God's word. Don't be guilty of spending time and energy on things that will pass away, but instead focus and steer your affections towards that which will last forever. May we, like the deer that is so desperate for water, be so desperate for the presence of God in our lives. The Bible is alive. It's more than just words on a page. It is living, life-transforming. It's powerful and active in every single way. May we be committed to reading the Word of God and doing what it says. Amen? Why don't you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your Word that is alive. We thank you that your word is still the number one bestseller of all time. We thank you that your word transforms lives and that God, your Holy Spirit, when we are connected with your Holy Spirit, the word just pops off the page and we get new revelations and there are so many confirmations proven that this is an authentic piece of literature, a literature that is far beyond the authors that wrote it, because Lord, you are the one that pieced it together. You are the publisher. You are the one that put it all together, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your word that is with us, and we thank you that it will pass all the tests of time. So God, I pray for everybody that is here and those that are listening online, that Father, I pray by the power of Jesus' name, they would crave to know more about you and dive into your word, the Bible. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.